speak about. I'm incredibly grateful and honored to be speaking on this topic today because I think this is almost the same thing I might have said last time, that I went through this portion and I've read this many times before, but the Lord reveals so many things which were new to me. So I hope to share some of that with you. So let's turn to John chapter 15 and we'll go through verses 1 to 5. So what I intend to do today is to do kind of phrase by phrase and look at the different topics which connect to this I am statement with Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. We see in verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Verse 4 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I need you every hour. We just sang that song. And here we see a good representation of what our Lord is telling us. We need God. It's a perfect song to introduce this portion of scripture. We'll first address when, where, why, and what Jesus is saying. Where was Jesus saying this? Jesus was saying this possibly in the upper room or maybe on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said this during the Last Supper, essentially, the night before his crucifixion. The two chapters before this and the two chapters after this were Jesus' final teachings to prepare his disciples for the future. And here we see why, and we can address why Jesus was saying this too in the following verses, but it was mainly to prepare the disciples and us in turn for life after, our Lord's physical departure, and to emphasize this important topic of spiritual dependence on the Lord. Because the disciples were dependent both spiritually and physically on our Lord. But here we see that Jesus is emphasizing the fact that he's using the vine as an example to show the disciples that he is the source of true life. And the reason Jesus used the word I am is he's trying to connect back to God's divine identity, which we read about in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God is telling Moses, "I am, tell the people, I am, has sent you." And Jesus also used the word the plant, the vine, and he's saying that I am the source of spiritual life and nourishment. And the reason he chose the vine, and Jesus specifies the word true vine, at least in the NIV, it says, "I am the true vine." That's our Lord's definition of himself in this context. So the fact that our Lord says that he is the true vine would indicate that there were false vines in the past, and to some aspect, even in the present. We see in John here, the meaning of the word vine here is. It means the word true means genuine. It means authentic. It also means ultimate. Christ is saying that I am the ultimate vine, the vine which you have heard about in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1 through 7. Isaiah describes, God is describing the nation of Israel as a vineyard. And especially in verse 7, I would like to just quickly read verse 6 and verse 7. It says, "I will make it a wasteland, neither prune nor cultivator, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the cloud not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. So we see how the nation of Israel, which was the vineyard, kind of failed God's original intention for them. But Israel failed to produce good fruit. We see throughout the Old Testament, the fact that they failed to produce good fruit represented a whole season of disobedience and unfaithfulness towards our Lord. And here we see that Jesus is saying that I am the true vine. I am something which the nation of Israel could not do. Perfect obedience. And we see our Lord was the perfect picture of perfect obedience to the Father. And the other examples of false vines, and I'm not going to elaborate more on this because we know enough about this, is some examples could be self-righteousness, legalism, worldly sources of fulfillment, and false teachings, anything of that nature. I was talking to Brother Prabhupada as we came in today, and we were saying, this has actually led to a lot of thoughts in my heart about where is my ultimate source of nourishment? How do we know? And Jesus is using this and saying that I am the true vine. And he talks about his Father being the gardener. But Jesus is essentially saying is that he is the vine and we are the branches connected to him. But are we truly connected to him? And we see that wherever we derive our nourishment and our joy and any spiritual goodness which we have, that's our true source. And we know that the Father is the gardener. It says here in verse 1, or certain translations use the word vine dresser. But we see the Father cuts off, in verse 2, it says, cuts off every branch in me that bears new fruit. So anything connected to the vine, there are two types of, use of shears being mentioned here, so to speak. I don't know the right word for it, but something which is used to cut branches. Here we see that the Father is the gardener. The Father is the vine dresser. Not any human being. And the reason why God is so keen on his vineyard is because, first of all, if you use the term vineyard, it's hard. It's hard work. It's a lot of manual work. You can't just use machines and start pruning branches. You can't use machines to, do a lot of things in most vineyards, at least, that I know of. But it's also not the most financially rewarding occupation there for the amount of land that they have. The one reason we could think of that somebody would have a vineyard is because of the wine, because of the grapes which grow. If a vineyard has no grapes, it's not useful. So we see that the Father is the gardener. He cares about his vineyard. He cares so much about his vineyard that he cuts off every branch in Christ that bears no fruit. And that's the first kind of cutting that we can talk about. A branch is like anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ, but we know for a fact that if a branch is not truly getting its nourishment from the vine, it will be dead very soon. Like an example would be we go to a hospital, we go to the ER. The first thing they do is they check our vitals, because no matter what operation you have to do, if the person is dead, there's no point, right? So there are things which, in our lives, which we need to examine. The fact that the first litmus test is, are we truly connected to the vine? We can say that we are. We might know, and that's the biggest danger which I noticed in my own life. I might know all the right words because I grew up in the assembly. But it's a whole different thing to think that we are connected to the vine, but not truly be connected to the vine. And the evidence of that is in the fruit. What are we truly producing? And that's why the Father is the vine dresser. There's a, let's not forget about that. Because if I'm the wine dresser and I look at some other person who has been like who's probably not producing the fruit I expect that person to produce, what do I do? I cut off the branches. But we see that the father is very patient, but he cuts off branches which bear no fruit. And this shows that our confidence in God is not because of something which we ourselves can profess to have. Because a branch is nothing without the vine itself. The branch is nothing without the vine dresser. But only through the life-giving vine can we actually produce fruit. And that transitions us to the next one. Christ says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I had to actually Google this term. Like, what does pruning actually mean? And how does that connect to scripture? The Greek term used here actually means cleansing, to cleanse. But when Christ is using this as part of this example, which is giving about the true vine, it involves cutting. Cleansing does, to some degree, in terms of a vine, involve cutting, which is painful. But the reason the vine dresser or the gardener goes and very carefully prunes the extra things that he sees on there, things which are not beneficial for which are not beneficial for the vine, for the branch of the vine producing fruit. It does involve us looking at our own lives. If we were to use that example in our own lives, there are things in my life, if I use myself as an example, which I do not like God working on. There are things which are too dear to me. Like when we say, I surrender everything to God, are we truly? God, if we say we are surrendering all, God is going to work on our lives. That's what we did when we committed our lives to Christ. We asked God to come into our lives, not just to be a small part of our life, but to be our life, to be the source of everything which we are doing in this world. So, what God is promising us is that if you are truly my friends, if you are truly connected to me, I am going to cut you. But not completely. I'm going to remove areas of your life which are hindering you from producing more fruit. And we see that it says that he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Not just to maintain the fruit or to maintain that small size of fruit which the tree has, but to bear more fruit. And in verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And this can be a reference to the previous chapter where God is saying that where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And it indicates there's one term which caught my eye, which he said that you are clean at the end of John 13, verse 1 through 11. At the end of that passage, it says, you are clean, but not every one of you. Because he knew who was going to betray him. But this is a reference to scripture where Christ is also saying that in John chapter 15, verse 3, he's saying, but sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. In John chapter 17, verse 17, actually, Christ is praying to the Father. He's saying, sanctify them by your truth. Make them, they are clean. Because they have obeyed my voice. And sanctify is another word which says set apart or cleanse. And we see that just as the Father's word cleanses us and sets us apart, so does Jesus' word. And John says, and we know this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 10, it says that if we say we have fellowship in him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Christ is emphasizing the fact that we are already clean because of the word he has spoken to us. And in the interest of time, let's just go to verse 4. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And in verse 5, he says, I am the vine. He's repeating them. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Here, Jesus is talking about to his disciples about that total dependence. It's about this relationship which we have with our Lord, with the Father. We can only approach him, but only if we remain in him. We have to, because if we don't, you're like in verse 6, it says, you're like a branch which will be thrown away and withers, which connects back to verse 2, where the Father would, if something is withered, the gardener never keeps it there, because it's just, you know, taking away from the branches which could be fruit. It could be fruit. And we can see the transition which our Lord is using. And this also connects to many other parables which Jesus spoke about. In verse 2, he's talking about something which bears no fruit. And then in verse 2, he says, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. And then we see no branch can, you can only bear fruit if you remain in me. And then we see in verse 5, it says that if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. So it's there are 3 to 4 different phases of everybody's life. Like there's a phase when we had no fruit whatsoever. We're away from God, in darkness, but we see that through that life-giving vine, and the only way we are connected to that vine itself is because the vine dresser, God, raptured us into it. There's no other way we could be connected. A branch of an apple tree can't really go to the vineyard and say, hey, I want to produce some grapes now. It's not possible. But the only way we can do that, the only way we can become more fruitful. Anything, so we can say, like, from no fruit, we went to something which started bearing fruit. And then God's pruning us. He's pruning us so that we'll become even more fruitful. But as long as we continue to get pruned, which is painful, but remain in Christ. And we know the scripture well, but the reason I wanted to emphasize this is because it showed me things which I've never seen before. The fact that God's intention for us is not just to transition from bearing no fruit to some fruit. The intention of God is to have us bear much fruit, to be extremely a visible sign that this vineyard our Lord is working on, the gardener is working on. Look at how beautiful that is. Look at how beautiful this vineyard looks because of all the grape, you know, is used to produce the juice coming from the grape, which could be a metaphor or a symbol of how God works through us to show the world that he is truly life-giving. That's it's so important to bear much fruit and to be this symbol. Because if you think about it, and we can't probably imagine right now, but heaven is going to be a perfect display of that vineyard which God has worked on for so many years, for centuries. People who have the privileges we have and people who don't. People who speak the same language we do, we don't. But the only thing which unites all of us, and even in this church, and the universal church, the global church, is the vine. We are different branches. But the only thing which unites us is that we are all the source of the life in us today. And the source of this unity which we have, we are part of that same tree. We are part of the same vine. There is no other one. There is no other true one. There could be only one truth, right? There is only one vine. And there is only one gardener in this vineyard. And we see Throughout the years, God has grown this vineyard in ways we can't even imagine, and we will truly not be able to imagine it till we see Him. Okay. And this is something which each of us should look forward to. The only time we might not intend on looking forward to it, and sometimes this thought scares me, is if we are not fully connected to God. Or if we are not, God said, be holy for I am holy. Let's not be as holy as we can be. Yes, but we need to grow. We need to accept the pruning which the Father is doing on each one of us. And the fact that the Lord sometimes, the Spirit sometimes pricks us. And we could use the Spirit as a metaphor of the sun and the rain and everything, which helps these grapes grow, this branch produce more fruit. And one important thing to note is that our concern is not to produce the fruit. God has not tasked us with, you have to produce this much fruit. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit. There are things which we need to work on, but our job is not to grow. Our job is to abide, to remain in the vine, and the fruit is a result of that abiding in God. We don't abide in Him and just focus on other people's fruit. There's a high chance that we might not even be, because all our job is, and this is why we are so blessed that we were away from God. We were people who bore no fruit and who were empty, empty beings. But through that life-giving one, and only through that, and by the hard work of the vine dresser, and by the prompting of the Spirit, is why we are here today, is how we continue to grow in Christ. So the only last thing I would share is abide. We need to abide. It sounds simple, but it's hard, because it's easy for us to quote scripture after scripture, and sometimes it's hard being part of the assemblies. We know all the right words to show to the world that we are part of the world. But the most important thing is to examine ourselves and trust the vine dresser, to trust the vine. Because even if we are not faithful, He is faithful. Even if we feel that there are seasons in our life where we might not be getting the nourishment that we think we get because of all the distractions in the world and all of that, we need to remember this fact that everything we get pricked by in terms of the pruning which God is doing in our life is for our own good. There are things which we would hate to follow, and there are things which are truly, they sound spiritual, they look spiritual, but they are not truly spiritual. They're not truly edifying. But trust the Lord, abide in Him. And before I pray, or even while I'm praying, let's just take a few moments to think about how blessed we are to be part of the one. How blessed we are. There are other branches in the world which are withered, but we are part of the true one. There's not too many of us in this world, but the fact that we are prompted by the Spirit. We who were once so far away from Him, who were in completely dry and useless, are now producing fruit. And may God enable us to produce more fruit and even much fruit, and be a representation of the beauty of God's handiwork in us. Shall we pray? Our Father, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you have done in our lives. We pray that you may continue to work through us, even though it's painful and even though we sometimes might not like it. We pray that you may continue to, we pray that you, we may trust you enough to let you work on us and help us to be holy in our day-to-day lives. Help us to produce fruit which indicates your marvelous work in our lives. Help us to abide. Help us to remain in you. And help us to continue to share your word so that there may be more branches. So that when we get to heaven, we might see that beautiful vineyard which you have put so much work on. You don't sleep. The Lord works night and day in our life. Help us to be grateful for that. Help us to worship you and thank you for the life-giving vine through which we stand today. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.